Moments we'll sing number 304 as an invitation song. Appreciate each and every one out this evening. Seems like our crowds are getting bigger. Well, maybe the good weather is starting to allow people to be out a little bit better, and it is a nice day today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you're a student of the Bible very much at all, you're going to say, well, that's the chapter on love. Well, I'm going to look at the last verse in that chapter, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to see some things, I hope, tonight that will increase our service unto God, get us stronger. And that's what we strive to do each day that we live, each moment that we live, to increase our faith, to increase our service unto God. As Paul writes here, talking about love and defining love, he ends this series of verses, as it's been divided out, in verse 13, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." I'm going to look at the first part of this verse this evening, and we're going to look at the abiding faith, abiding hope, abiding love. Love for God, I've left one out. Love for God, love for Christ, a love for our brethren, and love for work and service. So I want to look at these things that abide, that are mentioned here, faith, hope, and love tonight for just a few minutes. Concerning faith, we know that Hebrews 11, if we turn over to there in verse 6, tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And that's basically what the verse says. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, and that is talking about God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we have to start understanding something about faith, that in order to be pleasing unto God, we have to have it. Now, we're going to look at what faith is and building our faith a little bit here as we go along. But we have to understand, first of all, to please God, we have to have faith. So we better understand what faith is. And so the next point that we see is that we need to be like the apostles, the disciples that were with Jesus in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. In Luke 17 and verse 5, the apostles asked Jesus, saying, "Increase our faith." And then he goes in and tells them about the faith as a mustard seed. You'd be able to move mulberry trees and throw it into the sea and to do all sorts of things that you could. But the question is, or the request from the apostles is, "Lord, increase our faith." And that's what we need to have the attitude of, is that we need, since it's not possible to please God without faith, then we need to have the attitude of increasing our faith. And so, how do we get faith? Well, Romans chapter 10. As Paul writes here in chapter 10, he starts this chapter out with, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for Israel, is that they may be saved." And then he talks about all the things that they have gone through in trying to please God, but they did it without knowledge. And so, in order for us to have that faith that is possible to please God, we need to have a knowledge of God. And so, Paul writes concerning the gospel, beginning in verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Understanding that the Word of God is transmitted by mouth, by preachers. And he goes on and talks about that in verse 15, I believe it's Isaiah, it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So then, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith can be increased by knowing God's word. That's the only place that we can find faith, is knowing God's word. So when we hear the gospel preached, we can learn what God would have us to do and therefore increase our faith. And as we increase our faith, we can become confident in our faith. Not confident in ourselves, but understanding what God would have us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll turn over there with me, and I'll begin what Paul is writing about here, about our earthly tent. If we're clothed in our bodies, as we are all sitting here, we are groaning, he says, to be clothed with that which is going to be from heaven, the immortal body. But that only comes after we die. So, as he is pointing out to them, as we are looking forward to these things, in the fifth chapter and verse 5 beginning of 2 Corinthians, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from God, for we walk by faith and not by sight." And he goes on to say, If we see what we're hoping for, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but if we see that, then there's no longer needs to be any hope, or our faith is complete if we see the completion of this. But we can become more confident as we learn more about God's Word in our faith and building up in the Word of God. But our confidence, again, is not in ourself, but in Christ. Going over to Galatians chapter 2, Paul, again, as he's writing here to the Galatians, kind of hard to jump in here, begin in verse 15 just to get the idea of what Paul is writing about. "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles." Now he's writing again, comparing the law of Moses with the law of Christ. "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, for by works of the law no flesh can be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God." And notice verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So again, our faith keeps on increasing, and we have confidence, but the confidence is in Christ, as we see here. Christ died for all, and as we hear more the Word of God and study more the Word of God, we can be confident in that, because it's confidence in Christ and not confidence in ourselves. And finally, the victory then is in Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5, John writes and says, after making several comments about keeping commandments and following after God and knowing the love of God, it says in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, that has overcome the world, our faith." So our faith, as it increases, as it grows, we can become confident and more pleasing unto God. Again, beginning, it's impossible to please God without faith. Next thing I want to look at is hope, the abiding hope. Turn back to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8. Where is our hope then? Beginning in verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Okay. We have redemption through Jesus Christ in, as we've mentioned, our faith in showing that our confidence is in Jesus Christ, our redemption. This causes us to have hope. We have hope of eternal life, and that's the hope that we need to have. And here he says in verse 24, for we are saved in this hope, the hope of the redemption of our body, back in verse 23. So, it's through Christ that we have hope. We also, through Scriptures, the Word of God, can have this hope. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And note, as we look here, beginning in verse 1 of Romans chapter 15, For we then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Understanding what Paul is looking at, he's looking back at the Old Testament. He's looking back at the Scriptures that they had at that time, and looking at all the things that God did for His chosen people, and that through patience and through comfort of God's Word, we can also have that same confidence in God, that hope that God will complete what He has promised in all things. So, we have redemption the redemption that Jesus provided for all of mankind is a hope for us, the redemption of the body. The patience and comfort of the Scripture is a hope. Also, it's an anchor. Thank Ben for leading that song. I didn't even ask him to, but it was a perfect song for this this lesson tonight. Turning over to Hebrews chapter 6, concerning our hope. Our hope is not anchored in anything that is like we would see when you anchor a ship or a small boat to a rock, a tree, or drop something heavy into the water to keep it in position. That's not what, it's not something physical that we have our hope set on. And it, talking about beginning in verse 17, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. And so Christ is our anchor that we can have our hope set on. So not only has He redeemed us in the body, we have patience and comfort through the Scriptures. We have that anchor of the soul that is sure and steadfast. But we also have a living hope in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. Notice it's living, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our hope that we have, that abiding hope, is through the sacrifice of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and it's a living hope, and it's an anchor. And obviously, it is in Him, as we would read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. When we say in Him, that would be in Jesus Christ. And it says, well, beginning in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So we need to continue our purification, our building our faith, as we've mentioned already, and building our hope. And our hope is in Him, is in Jesus Christ, who has provided the sacrifice for us, and in God, in fulfilling all of His promises and being sure in all of the things that He has done for us. And now let us do love. Abiding love, first of all, must be for God. Jesus was asked a question in Matthew chapter 22 about what was the greatest commandment. From a lawyer, he was testing him, and he said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And if you read that in Luke, it says, "and with all your strength." That is the greatest commandment. We are to love God. Abiding love for God is what we need in order to be pleasing to Him. As our faith, we can't please Him without having faith. It comes out of love. Strong love for God. And if we note that over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." We need to love God first and foremost. So abiding love is for God. But also, it's for Christ, as we can see and turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 23. Judas, in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself? How is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus said to him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So we need to have an abiding love for Christ also, for Jesus, because Jesus came from the Father. So if we love God, keep His commandments, we must also love Christ for what He has done for us as our Savior. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 17. starts in the middle of a sentence there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to have an abiding love for Christ since He has an abiding love for us. Turn to the 6th chapter of Ephesians and notice the last verse in this chapter, in this letter, where Paul says, "Grace be with you, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." We need to be sincere in our love. It cannot be a make-believe love. It cannot be something that is put on. It's just not a face. It's not an acting. It's not hypocritical. It has to be sincere. So we need to have a sincere love for Christ. Also, we need to have a love for the brethren. Notice over in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Beginning in verse 34 there. John 13, verse 34. "A new command I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus, in a command here, tells us what we are going to be as His disciples. We are going to love one another. Since we all love God and want to be pleasing unto Him and love Christ for what He has done for us, we also need to love one another, that we are all going to with the same purpose, going to the eternal home, that hope that we have. Going over to 1 John chapter 3 and notice in verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." We should give ourselves to one another in helping one another and striving to serve one another as we serve God. This is what we need to do. We have to have an abiding love for the brethren. And we need to have an abiding love for our work and service unto God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the latter part of that, the last verse in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Very strong, encouraging verses here in the latter part of this chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we need to have an abiding love for our work, because it needs to be steadfast and immovable, and it needs to be abounding. If you're not truly loving the Lord and abounding in His work, you're just going to be half-heartedly going through things. And we need to have our whole heart in it, completely in our service unto God. Because as we see in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, chapter 12 of Hebrews and verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably," and notice what it says, "with reverence and godly fear." We have to do it in sincerity and steadfastness, and we have to do it in reverence and godly fear unto God. And over in Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14, and verse 13, John, as he writes the revelation that he's seen, which came to him, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them.'" We're going to be known and judged by our works. Those that say that you don't have to work, that we can't work. That's not what the Scriptures tell us. Our salvation is determined by our faith, our hope, our love, as we have seen in these Scriptures tonight, in God through Jesus Christ, and our diligent effort to serve as His Word directs us. So, what have we learned tonight? We've looked at faith, hope, and love. And these three, and of course it says the greatest of these is love. And I think we can see, that's a different study, but I think we can see that if we don't have love at all in our hearts in serving God, we might have a hope out there that we think we're doing it right, and we may have, quote, a faith, a little faith, or a dead faith, or something else that is talked about in Scripture that is not truly a faith that is pleasing unto God, we are going to be lost unless we strengthen our faith, strengthen our hope, and rely on that hope, and strengthen our love for God, for Christ, for our brethren, and for our work and service unto God. Where are you tonight in your service unto God? Do you have the strong faith, the strong hope, the strong love that is needed to be pleasing to Him? If not, you need to change. Get out of the ruts. Get out of the things that are keeping you away from serving God. And I'm talking to Christians here. Turn away from the worldly things and turn to God. Repent. Ask His forgiveness. And then diligently serve Him faithfully unto death for the rest of your life. If you're not a Christian, there is no hope. The only hope is in Christ. Those that have been added to Christ, added to the church through being baptized into Christ. That's the only way. You need to hear the Word, and you need to believe that Word, the Gospel. The Gospel is the power of salvation. Because when you hear that and believe it, it's going to tell you that I need to repent. I need to change my ways because I have not been pleasing to God. And I need to turn to God through repentance. And then I need to confess Jesus as Lord, as the Son of God. And I need to submit in obedience to baptism. Have our sins washed away. You need to do that tonight. Rising from that watery grave to walk in newness of life for the rest of your life, being pleasing unto God. What is your need tonight? Please let it be known as we stand and sing.